Thankful to the good Lord for this meeting thus far. Very thankful and encouraged, you might say, seeing men of faith standing for the truth. And as Brother Will mentioned, our friendship, and I have a friendship with him, and I love him for Christ's sake. And as John says, those whom I love in the truth's sake, for the sake of the truth, is that which binds us together. Thankful to see the generation after me coming on. Thankful for Elder Conley and his labors in the Lord. First time I met Brother James, he was with his brother out in California. Took a trip with the Taylor family, Sister Karen and I did, and we met Brother John Conley and his family for the very first time. Brother John and I, we hit it off. We were raised in different states, had different fathers in the ministry, but it was almost miraculous as we went and talked about the scriptures, doctrine of the church, practice of the church, that we were seeing eye to eye. And it was just it's just an immediate bond. And he had three children, two little boys, that's the age of some of these. And I think they were playing FBI or something, FBI ages. And now sharing a stand with him. And it makes my heart to rejoice. Very thankful to the good Lord. And again, for the stand that Macedonia Church has taken, and that you would, having stand, you do all to continue to stand. I want to speak to you this morning about sound methods. We are commanded to preach sound doctrine. Of course, sound doctrine means, you know, something that has a foundation, something that's good, it's sound. A lot of dietitians say, well, you want to eat a sound diet, and so forth and so on. Something that's good, something that's stable. And in our divine worship, and I trust you have come here this morning for divine worship, in the old minutes of Friendship Church, we met so and so for divine worship. This is the household of faith. This is the city of the living God. This is the New Testament church. It's described as the city of our solemnities. Some may have come here with broken hearts or a loss. Some may have come here with great needs. Others may have come here with rejoicing. We rejoice with those that rejoice. We weep with those that weep. But when we come into the house of the Lord, it says, let our words be few. Because we're coming here for divine worship. God knows every heart. He knows every intent. He knows every thought. And he knows whether you're here to worship him and give praise and glory unto his son. The Lord has described methods to truly worship God, good methods in communicating with him, drawing near to him in the Sermon on the Mount. He talked about prayer. He talked about giving of alms and fasting. And he says there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. You don't use vain repetitions in prayer. You pray from your heart, pray, trust in the Spirit. And you go into your closet. You don't go out here to be seen of men. He says they have their reward. And then in giving of alms and helping out people, you don't sound the trumpet and let everybody know, hey, I'm giving this, and I want my name on a street or a bridge because I've given so much. Don't do that. He says you do it in secret. They have their reward. But when you give in secret, the Lord will reward you openly. Same way with your prayer. So there's a right way to do things is what I'm trying to say. And the way it is with in divine worship, there's a sound methods. There's a good way to do that. Training up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. One of the things that the enemies of the church have stated very negatively about the Primitive Baptists is that they don't have Sunday schools. And they don't really see a need that their children be trained up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, now, we believe in training our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's a commandment. Amen. But we're not going to take the responsibility of the parents. That's their responsibility. And lay it off here to the church. You see? That's the responsibility of every God-fearing parent, is to train your child or children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, we just believe in a different method, okay? Some have adopted the method, the Sunday school method, which we don't find in the scriptures. And the old Baptist sticks with the old method, and that is for its responsibility of the parents. Years ago, when Sister Rose was just, she's about that high, we were on our way to Florida, brought with us a sister from the church, Sister Pearl Anderson. She's passed on and she's residing in heaven now. Her body's in the cemetery. But she went with us. She had a daughter that lived in middle Florida, and we would take her from time to time. We stopped off, spent the night at the Taylor's, and she saw something that just stuck in her mind. Before bedtime, the father of the house had his children gathered around. They all had their Bibles, and they would all read the Holy Scriptures. And the one that was just starting to read, they could read the A and the thee, maybe a couple, and the twos. But Brother Bruce would help him out with the larger words. And it paid off, didn't it? Train your children up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let the grandparents, a lot of times when the grandparents keep the grandchildren, they'll say, well, here, watch some TV, I'm busy. Or here's a video game. Listen, train the children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's a sound method, and it's a better method than the Sunday school method. Because the Bible plainly says, except for a woman not to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. And so, the sound method is for the parents to do that. In preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a way that's laid out in the scriptures. And that is two, at most three. I know sometimes there's visiting elders and the moderator of the meeting, well, we're going to try to squeeze in four. Well, I'll tell you, that fourth one, the congregation's worn out by then. And they're wanting to go home. They need to take some medication or their stomachs are growling. And unless God miraculously intervenes, it's sort of a waste of time. But because you're not going by the scriptures. Back in our area, there was back in the early 1800s, there was a thing called the Cumberland Revival. And there was a group of men that traveled around, and they had a congregation of about 3,000, and they would track maybe another 3,000, and they'd have tents, and they would have camp meetings, and it would go on for about a week, and then they'd move on to and the way they would do it is that they would have a makeshift pulpit out here, and a man over here preaching, a makeshift pulpit out here. And this man was preaching, and it was excitement, but it was total confusion. And so there's a proper way, two, three, and that by course. And if somebody's speaking a foreign language that you can understand, you better have an interpreter. There's a right way to preach the gospel. There's a proper method to preach the gospel. It is not a PowerPoint presentation out here. God gave man the gospel, not the angels, but he gave man to preach the gospel. And the reason he gave it to man was to let you know that the gospel, when it comes to you in power and in the Holy Ghost, that It's not of the man that's preaching the gospel. It's the miraculous power of God conveying His comfort and message to your heart upon His laws have been written. And so Primitive Baptists do not need a PowerPoint presentation. They need the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what they need. And that comes through prayer. And even in the household of faith, there's a proper way to pray, as Elder Martin led us in prayer this morning. And you could hear it, and it was in a known tongue, and you could be edified by the prayer that was made unto our Father in heaven. In our country, there's a group of people. They have a number of established churches there. And their practice is, their method is, and the first time I heard it, it sort of scared me, that every male member in the congregation prays out loud. Now you're talking about a noise. And of course they have one brother to lead them in prayer. And he sort of starts, and then all the others join in, and then they gradually fade out. And then he's the one that ends it. The one that starts it, ends it. I always ask him, I says, well, how do y'all know, you know, when to end? And, you know, and so at any rate, it's not the right method. No doubt they receive some kind of emotional spirit out of it, but it is not the right method. God's house is a house of order and simplicity. And very simplistic methods, so that there's nothing here to distract us. Had a man one time visit our church. He was dating and courting, and I said, "Well, what do you after service?" I said, "Well, this is your first time to an old Baptist church." I said, "What do you think? I like to know what people think." And he said, "Well," he said, "there's just not enough going on in your all service." You know, we had some people there shedding tears. People, you could see them rejoicing about in the goodness and mercy of God. I said, not enough going on. Yeah, he says there's just not enough excitement. He says nobody stood up and testified. Nobody did this. And you don't have a piano or an organ here. He says, there's just not enough going on. And it came to me, I said, well, you know, I said, the Holy Spirit is not described as a woodpecker in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is described as what? A dove. And if you know anything about doves, doves like a quiet place. You go out there and rattle some garbage cans, and them doves, if you make a lot of noise, those doves will fly away. This is the city of our solemnity, and we pray that God will continue to send His Holy Spirit and bless us. The training of our ministry is very simplistic. Paul told Timothy, he says, the proper method is, as well, you have heard of me among many witnesses, you teach also to others that they can teach others. It's handed down from minister to minister. Some years ago, there was somebody, sure they had good intentions, thought of a new method for the old Baptist church, national ministers meeting. And ministers would come all over from the United States, and they would hear other ministers, and other ministers would instruct them in this structured method. I was invited 3 or 4 times. By some of my friends in the ministry. And I said, well, I just don't think that's the right method. Sure, they have good intentions, but it's just not the right method. One of my dear friends, he said, well, you know, in the Old Testament, they had the school of the prophets. And I told him, I said, yeah, but y'all keep fooling around up there. You're going to have somebody like an old prophet come in there because someone's going to put a wild gourd in the pot and y'all are going to get poisoned. And, well, make a long story short, that's what happened. They'd have a national preachers meeting up there, but what was really going on, the real meeting was going on, was in the motel rooms with those younger preachers leading them off into error. That was the real meeting that's going on. Proper method. Some years ago, there were some that wanted to adopt a new method for counseling. Primitive Baptists have a very simple method for counseling. The Lord is our counselor. He's our high priest. You have questions. You have a pastor here. He knows the Word of God. He can rightly divide the Word of God. You come to him. And I'm sure he can instruct you in the good way that you can go. But the method of counseling that they were pushing or promoting and trying to get into the old church was where someone would sit behind a desk, little intimidation looking over you, having you fill out some forms, wanting to know all about your background, all about your past, your father, your mother, this or that. And they adopted it from Jay Adams. And Jay Adams was a left-wing Presbyterian, and the Presbyterians are, you know, they sort of the daughters of ancient Rome. Listen, there is a proper method, but that method does not include you going and confessing your sins to some priest or giving everything about yourself over to another individual. There's only one man that you're to do that to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your high priest.
Amen.
Reason they can't get rid of these ungodly pedophile priests in the Roman Catholicism is because he knows all the stuff about everybody in that congregation, and they're scared of him. And when you tell somebody all your dirty laundry, what you have done, you have given them power over you. And so there's a... Well, doesn't the Bible say, you know, confess your fault? Yeah, confess your faults. You know, if you've done wrong to somebody, so forth, then you go to the Lord. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the Lord. That he's our high priest. And so there's a proper method for training young ministers. Not the seminary, not some national preacher's meeting, but it's having fathers in the faith. I miss my fathers in the faith. They've gone home to be with the Lord. But I'm thankful for those who are coming after, who are standing upon the walls of Zion, crying aloud and sparing not. There's a proper method for singing. I guess I better read a scripture, hadn't I? What does Jeff preach on? Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. This lays out the simplicity of singing, especially in the household of faith. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And it says, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now there's some methods that are being introduced, and those methods are, when you come to the house of the Lord, is to sing for praise. To sing for praise. That means, listen to me, hear me. See how well we can sing. I like singing, but if it's not from hearts conditioned to the Lord, blessed of the Spirit, filled with grace, what good is it? We sing, making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. Being filled with the Spirit, not with excess of wine, but with the Spirit of God. Sing. So we don't come here to sing for praise. We come here to sing to praise. And there's a big difference. I hope you've come here to praise the Lord, because He knows your heart. He knows what you're thinking. He knows all about you. You come here to sing to praise and not come for praise. And all when I see the songs of Zion being used improperly in a worldly, carnal way, it troubles and stirs my spirit. Reminds me of the vessels of the temple that were taken by the Babylonians. Those were holy vessels. Those were things that belonged to God for the worship of God, set apart for that purpose. And that was God's method. But those Babylonians had taken those very holy things, and they were using it in a drunken festival, taking the very vessels of the temple and greatly anybody knows the story? There's a hand that came and it wrote something on the wall. Maybe you read the book of Daniel, know about that. I give fair warning, members of this church, people in this area, the hymns of Zion they belong to you, but they were given by a wonderful blessing from the Lord, and we should respect them. Sometimes my wife and I would go to a family reunion, and they said, "Sing us a church hymn." And they're out there with a beer in their hand. And I'm not going to sing the songs of Zion, this strange land. Songs of Zion's not for entertaining the carnal mind. So there's a proper method. I wonder what God thinks when He looks down and He sees all that's going on. And the hymn that He blessed a man to write who had lost his family. A ship had sunk at sea there in the Atlantic, and his wife and his children drowned there. And when he crossed that same place on the ocean, the captain of the ship said, "Well, somewhere in this vicinity, we think that's where your wife and your children went down with the ship." He was blessed of God to pen down the words, "It is well with my soul." And to use that and try to make a game out of it, or any of our sacred hymns, close to blasphemy. God has given us these things. He's blessed men and women to write, and we're to sing within the Spirit in our hearts. It's not fun and games. Divine worship is not fun and games. There's a proper method to take the bread and the wine. And there was those at Corinth who failed to do it properly. They did it unworthily, not recognizing, not memorializing the Lord suffering and death at Calvary. They were just taking it like it was another meal or something. They weren't contemplating, wasn't having respect to the death and suffering to the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And Paul said, because of this, some sleep, that means they died over it, God judged them, and others are sick. You don't think you better have respect for the things of God in His house and His order and the way of true worship? There are proper methods for training our ministers. There's a proper method for singing the songs of Zion and respecting them and recognizing the lives and the labors of those individuals that wrote those hymns. Proper way to respect this Bible. Proper way to pray in our closets and pray publicly. Proper way to preach the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We believe in teaching our children. We believe in preaching the gospel. We believe in singing the songs of Zion. We believe in training our ministers. But we want to stay and continue to use the proper methods, the way the Lord has instructed the church. There's a man, had a neighbor one time. He's a good neighbor. He wanted to come over and he said, "Well, I won't tell you all about me." I said, "Hang on a second. You won't have to tell me all that." I said, "You tell that to the Lord." I said, "I want us to continue to be good neighbors and trust you, you know." And he invited me to a passion play. You know, that's big in a lot of religious circles. A passion play around. The Lord never instructed the church. I mean, if you wanted a play, I'm sure Paul could have put one on, a big one. He didn't see that as a way to teach all these religious cartoons, these religious movies. They give a very skewed view of the actual event. No, you need to go to the Word of God and ask the Lord to give you the vision of faith. And He can open up the death, burial, resurrection of His Son more than any passion play. He invited me. He was sincere. He was a good neighbor. And he said, "I'll give you free tickets." I said, "You have to pay for this thing." And he said, "My mom was an angel in it." And he said, "She won't be there the rest of the week." Said she was there, and said all them bright lights shining on. Said she just got overheated and she just passed out. I said, "Well, I let me think about coming, but I don't think I'm gonna be there. You know, I don't want to be in a place anywhere around where there's fallen angels. I don't want to be anywhere around where the angels are falling." I'm so thankful for the simplicity of the faith. Paul warned us to not be deceived as Eve was. You know, he says, let us, the simplicity of Christ. It's a very simple form of worship. Three P's, praise, singing, prayer, and the preaching of the gospel. We do it over and over. And we ask God to bless that very simple form of worship, so that we can go away and say, "Well, you know, I received such a blessing, a wonderful blessing, and it was so simple, and therefore I know that it was not of men. It wasn't the music, it wasn't the excitement, it wasn't the building, but it was God. It was God that was there. God was in this place, and I knew it not, but makes his makes His presence known unto us. May we, as the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, continue on in the old paths. Stand ye in the ways, stand still and ask, where is the good way? And we'll continue to find rest, not only for our souls, but for our children's souls as well. I've enjoyed myself. I thank you for your real good attention. I'm sure Brother James covets your prayers, and may we all continue on in the proper form, method, and way of divine worship in the New Testament church.